Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in here on this Monday morning here on KMBZ. John Grayson is taking some well-deserved vacation for this week. As we talked about last week, he made it down to Florida, so all is well. I'm on the mend. We're not 100% there yet. Amy Anderson is, it's taken three of you to make up for John today because my voice is just absolutely shot still. So thank you to Amy Anderson for hanging out for a while. Yay, I haven't actually seen you in quite a while.
It's been a long time. Usually we're on a little Zoom call. So it's nice to be in the studio with you, poor thing.
I'm just like, it's just becoming laughable now. And again, Parks is going to be here at 12 and he took part of Friday because I was just like, this is just stupid. This is just getting ridiculous. And there is nothing obvious wrong. COVID test was negative. Everything is fine. It's just
wow.
It's just crazy.
And it's you've had it for a while.
Since like Wednesday of last week. Yeah. And I just was able to pop my left ear for the first time. I can hear about halfway out of my left ear for the first time in 5 days as of an hour ago. And so it's just a crazy feel. It's a crazy feeling to go an entire weekend and not be able to hear out of one ear.
Yeah.
That's just a very odd. In fact, I had several friends over the weekend, including yesterday for the Chiefs game. And I said, tell me if I'm screaming because I can't hear myself. Yes. So tell me if I'm like overcompensating. Right. Tell me to tone it down if I'm yelling. I think everything's fine. But
yeah, because you totally could have been. That is just the worst feeling too, to be, especially with what we do for a living, to not have your voice.
Yeah.
Is so frustrating. So frustrating. And to have the little, is that a good thing we have that little cough? That
we
button,
do.
Button that actually says cough.
I actually never hit that. I actually just turn the mic on and
same.
Off. I don't know that I've ever touched the cough button here. What does it do? Does it just turn your mic off for a second?
It must just
I don't even
be,
know what it does.
I always turn mine off just to be extra safe.
In case it takes a while here. So yes, plenty going on in the world today. Amy's hanging out for a while. Will Starrett's popping in. We'll talk to Scott Parks coming up a little bit later. There's a lot going on in the world. Chris Keel of Armada Corporate Intelligence will join us coming up at 10:15 because I finally made the mistake of looking at my portfolio and was like, oh, that's why I don't do that very often. And there's a ton of economic news today that we'll get to. I actually watched the first half of the Chiefs game, which I almost never do last night. I almost never watch it. I usually just follow it on Twitter. That was fun. That was, were you in bed by?
So I'm supposed to be in bed definitely by then. And I was in bed and I was on Twitter and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to turn it on and just watch like the first few minutes and then I'm going to go to sleep. And then that touchdown happened.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I think I'm going to watch this one a while longer. So I think I fell asleep in like the third quarter.
I was with friends and left at halftime because I wake up early too, like at 4:30. And I thought, okay, I'm going to stay till halftime and then go home. As if I wasn't going to go home then and just follow it on Twitter until the end anyway. I should have just stayed there and watched the whole thing. But yeah, so that was an exciting night last night. I did watch Dahmer over the weekend. And I asked Amy earlier if you have a desire to see it. For those who don't know, this is the, I think it's 10 parts on Netflix. It is done as a TV show, so it's in 10 parts, about Jeffrey Dahmer, looking back at that case. And I won't ruin it for you for those who haven't seen it yet. But because I was just feeling like garbage on Friday, I thought I need something enthralling to keep me on the couch until I can go to bed. And so I started it literally at 2 p.m. I watched 7 episodes on Friday night. I finished it Saturday morning.
Okay, but was it one of the, because I've heard is incredible. I mean, obviously the story itself is horrifying, but I've heard that the show is so creepy and disturbing. Like, did you have trouble sleeping after 7 episodes?
No, but I think NyQuil probably helped me out there.
Just a little.
So it was interesting because I had seen criticism of it beforehand, and I was curious to know if that criticism was going to ring true for me when I watched it. And then I was chatting with a couple of friends about it over the weekend because I don't know, I don't watch American Horror Story, and I guess the actor that plays Jeffrey Dahmer is in American Horror Story. And so I couldn't even think of his name right now. I'd have to
Evan
look it up.
Peters.
Thank you, Evan Peters. Oh. Is he a big deal? Like, was he a big deal before? I didn't know him before this.
I know the name.
Yeah, I think he might have been in the X-Men movies.
Okay.
But I might be thinking of someone else. Okay. Don't get mad at me, please.
So some of the criticism of the series is that it makes Jeffrey Dahmer out to be too much of a sex symbol, which was weird to me.
A sex symbol?
Yes. And having watched it, I didn't get that feeling about it. Having watched the whole thing, I didn't come away with that feeling. And friends of mine over the weekend told me it's because Evan Peters plays him, and Evan Peters is becoming kind of a sex symbol in Hollywood.
Okay.
And it was the choice of him to play Jeffrey Dahmer that makes it seem that way. If you don't know who Evan Peters is, I didn't get that feeling about it at all. In fact, kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
But okay, so do you have any desire to see it?
100% I do. I like shows like that. I always have. I like true crime things. Anything like that, I will always watch. I've always liked stuff like that. My husband does not want to watch. He's like, do we have to?
Yeah.
Like, these are the shows that give me horrible nightmares. And I get that too. And so we haven't watched it yet. But I may still, you know, like, I don't know. I may still watch. I want to. I'm kind of afraid though.
Yeah. So I'm like you. I think when you do this for a living, we're interested in the backstory of anything like that. And I was a little, he was caught, what, in 1991, if I'm not mistaken, and died 3 years later. So I was 12 years old in 1991, but was living, you know, south side of Chicago. So I was close enough to Milwaukee to have been aware of it, but too young to really be aware of it.
Yeah.
And so some of this I was learning for the first time. Like I knew, you know, I knew details and stuff, but I didn't know this level of detail. It's dark. It's a lot. It's a lot. To me, it's 3 episodes too long.
Oh.
It didn't need to be 10. It didn't need to go as in depth into some of the victims as it needed to. And I understand if you are the family of one of those victims that really got highlighted, I can see how this was troublesome for you. But it didn't do that with all of his victims. They picked a few and they kind of went further into those.
Are some of the families upset?
Yeah. If you haven't heard the criticism, families are livid that they are having to relive this again. I mean, this isn't the first documentary or whatever you want to call it that's been done about this story. And so they are livid that they are having to relive it. Niecy Nash is in it and does an incredible job. I don't know a lot about her. I don't watch a lot of what she's been in, but she plays Jeffrey Dahmer's neighbor who was trying to alert police to what was going on. I mean, I'm not ruining anything for you. It was a news story.
Right.
So we know what happened. But she lived next door to him. This woman did, Glenda Cleveland, I think was her last name. And she's the one that keeps calling police and keeps calling the building manager about, I'm going to spare you some of the graphic details here, but there were warning signs from her living next door that there was something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she continually called police and the building manager to warn them. And when all the truth finally came out, she was the one, yeah, I've been trying to tell you this for a year.
She does an incredible job
in it. You do get a lot of the background about him, about his childhood. And they attempt to maybe explain why he was the way that he was. It wasn't overly sympathetic, though. It was just kind of an explanation, sort of what he was like as a kid. It's fascinating, though, but it's just a lot.
It was such a horrific thing. So you were 12 years old when that happened. That must have been, because I was much older than that. And I vividly remember it, too. But to be 12 years old and hear those stories, that's so scary.
I don't even remember what I remember knowing at the time. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. I mean, I would have been in 7th or 8th grade.
Yeah.
So you remember things like cannibalism and serial killer and things like that, but not the level of detail that we know now. I think I gradually learned about it more as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether to advise people or watch it or not.
I was going
to
say, like, what's your final verdict?
Be ready because you're in for, now I will tell you that Evan Peters does an incredible job of acting Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, holy cow, is that compelling. Just in a very chilling, very eerie, wow, kind of a way. So it's doing the best on Netflix since like one of the, gosh, my stupid brain today is just not going to be able to come up with names.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I've been having a Monday, it's Monday all brain. Day.
Yeah. But it's doing very well in terms of viewership on Netflix. So,
I may have to watch.
Yeah. I would start it, Amy, like start it and
right before bed.
No, like maybe on a sunny Saturday morning or something
during lunch.
Yes. And maybe do like one episode at a time and not seven episodes like I did at one time. But I was just, but I was caught up in it. Like once I was in, I was in.
Okay.
So,
okay.
All right. Amy Anderson hanging out today for John Grayson, who's on vacation. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Chris Keel of Armada Corporate Intelligence coming up next here on KMBZ. Back here with you on this Monday here on KMBZ. Happy to be joined on the line by Chris Keel of Armada Corporate Intelligence. Amy Anderson hanging out with us today also. Hey, Chris, thanks for being on with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
All right. So a ton of economic news to get to. The reason we initially called, although there's been a lot of news out this morning, is I'm just seeing the word recession show up in a lot more stories. I'm seeing a lot more explanations of what a recession is. There was a story out this morning about oil producers being primed for a recession. I'm going to ask you, and we've talked about this before, but define it for us. And what is the significance of labeling it?
Yeah, it's really hard to define, to be honest. And one of the things that's been challenging for everyone is trying to figure out what it is that would trigger a recession in a particular sector, because this country really never has a 100% recession. There's always a sector that's doing very well, even back in 2020. And one of my strangest speaking engagements of the year earlier this year was a group that said 2020 was the best year in our history. It was the Casket and Funeral Supply Association. So,
oh, wow.
You know,
yeah.
So silver linings, I guess.
Yeah.
But one of the things we watch really carefully, which probably means more even than whether we go into negative quarters, is employment. As long as the unemployment rate does not start to spike, and as long as the quit rate does not go back to normal, you're probably avoiding a serious real downturn. However, there's a lot of concern that at some point those layoffs will start. Business has begun to slacken in certain sectors, particularly retail. And generally speaking, that then is followed up by layoffs. But right now, companies are very reluctant to lay people off because it was so hard to hire them in the first place. So there's kind of a delay in what might ordinarily have taken place.
Let's stick with that for a second here and talk about job market, because everywhere I go, it seems there is still a shortage of workers. Yep. Are we still seeing that?
Oh, yeah. It's still endemic. You still have lots and lots of sectors that can't find people. You still have over 11 million jobs on offer. You've still got only about 6 million jobs of people available to take them. The quit rate is as high as it's been in 20 years. I mean, that's one of the things that's kind of distorting the picture when it comes to recession, is that there's still a tremendous need for workers, and particularly those with the right skills. And that's been chronic, and it's been a problem for over a decade and a half, really.
Chris, where is everybody? If there's such a shortage of workers and people are quitting, what is everyone doing?
Well, an awful lot of it is something that we could have predicted, should have predicted for a long time. It's retirement. We've lost something around 21 million boomers in the last 10 years. We see boomers hit retirement age at 10,000 a day. And in past years, the boomer kind of hung in there a little bit longer than normal. But that was when they were in their late 60s, early 70s. Well, now they're in their mid 70s. They're pushing 80, and they really are retiring. So that's part of the problem. The other problem is that we now have what we refer to as the gig economy. People are able to make a living without having a formal job per se. They're working Lyft, they're doing Uber, they're doing DoorDash. I was talking to a group of dry cleaners that said their biggest threat right now is internet laundry. People who are taking on other people's laundry for pay.
Wow.
And why not? You know, it's like the average take home was $350 a day. So you've got women who were sent home to take care of their kids during the pandemic, and they discovered, hey, I got a washer and dryer. I can make money. And they keep on doing it.
Everything is different now. It's just amazing. Let's talk for a minute about yesterday. We went to the grocery store, and what was in my bag for $99.57 was ridiculous. I mean, it used to be you could fill a cart with that. I had three bags.
Yep.
That is hurting people.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, you're getting a real difference in terms of how people are responding to inflation by their income, of course. Anybody who's making under 50K is really feeling it. People who are over 50K are kind of at the I complain about it but keep spending stage. And one of the things the retailers are counting on is that people will continue to gripe and spend as opposed to gripe and stop spending. Food prices have gone up partly because of what's going on with oil and fuel and the Russian sanctions and all the rest. But it's also been a factor of the global agricultural market. You've had lots of countries with serious agricultural crises, which has driven up the price of things like wheat and corn and soybeans. And, you know, we're in the middle now of dealing with various types of avian flu, which is causing massive shortages of chickens and turkeys. It's going to be an expensive Thanksgiving just because of that.
Getting ready for that one for sure. The other thing that's happening is home prices finally starting to drop a little bit. They were so high this last year. It's just been unbelievable. What is that going to mean for the average consumer?
You know, it probably won't mean a whole lot because they're seeing the home price come down at the same time that mortgage rates are going up. So the average per house price went from like $460,000 to a little over $400,000, still very high. But now you're looking at mortgage rates that are above 6%. So the number of applications for new mortgages is way down. Refinancing is even further down. Gee, I wonder why. And as a result, you're starting to see the home prices diminish. What's really growing in the housing sector now is multifamily. 80% of the new home construction now is multifamily. And rents are stabilizing a little bit, but they're still rather high. Now is not a good time to be looking for a starter home just because of the mortgage prices. But at some point, you begin to get a little bit of a reaction in some of the hottest markets. They'll be where prices will start to come down enough that people can afford houses in Nashville and Austin. Kansas City is kind of a wash. The prices have come down a bit, but the mortgage issue is keeping people out of the market.
How are we doing with the chip shortage and the automotive industry adjusting? Are they catching up yet?
We're finally catching up a little bit there. The automotive industry is set to do extremely well. They're in a very strange position right now. In fact, that virtually every car that's coming off the line is pre-sold. There is such a demand that there's this spiking for at least the next year. How long that lasts kind of depends on consumer demand, but at least the supply chain has started to fix a little bit. The challenge for the automotive sector is that they managed to talk the chip producers down in terms of their pricing, which put them at the bottom of the list of supply. The gaming industry said, hey, we'll pay any price for those chips. And guess what? They got serviced first. And now the automotive sector is going, oh, well, we negotiated a bargain, but that put us at the bottom of the pile.
Chris, any other economic indicators? We've kind of hit some of the big ones, but any other big ones that we should be watching for coming up here in the last quarter of the year?
You know, I think the big thing to watch is going to be the overall strength of retail. If we do get a decent spending season, because one of the things we still have going for us is there's an awful lot of money that is still in consumer hands, more than has been in past years. The question is whether they intend to spend it. The majority of it is with people who are making over 50K, so it's discretionary money, and it's going to be a matter of what they decide to do with it. A couple of the indicators that suggest that they are still spending is that travel is still on fire. The airlines are packed. The tourist areas are recovering nicely. There's a lot of energy in, as far as the travel season for the holiday, but we'll just see how long that lasts. Airfares have gone up, but it hasn't affected people's desire to fly.
Tell me about it. Airfare has gone up. Holy cow. Yeah, if you take a look book early, for sure. All right, Chris Keel, economist with Armada Corporate Intelligence. We always appreciate you breaking things down for us in a way that we can understand, so we appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thanks.
Thanks. Have a great rest of your day. We'll take a break here. I'll be back in the next half hour here on KMBZ.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Phone number to get in here, 913-586-7798. Amy Anderson in for John Grayson this hour. He's out on vacation all this week. So there was a new study that was out that was talking about the 4-day work week. And there is a growing list of companies that are testing this out. And Iceland was the first big one that we knew about. They did the first big pilot program. Then more and more companies started to do it. And starting today, 28 more companies in the U.S. and Canada are beginning a 6-month pilot of shortened work weeks in partnership. There's a nonprofit out of New Zealand called 4-Day Week Global. I was on their site earlier. And so they're going to try this out for 6 months. If you're wondering what 4-day week means in terms of hours worked, some are going to work 40 hours in 4 days. Some are going to do, and just to read it, not all companies are putting in place a 32-hour week, but everyone in the pilot works 80% of their previous hours for 100% of their current pay.
Wow.
So everyone is working whatever hours you worked before, you are That's working 80% work. Of for 100% of the pay. So they didn't cut your pay by mm-hmm. 1/5 in order to be able to do this. 913-586-7798. If you could, would you? Would you do the 4-day week? And because I see pros and cons to it, those of you with kids, I can see this being complicated because there are so many benefits to it. And we'll talk about the sleep part here in a second, because that's the numbers in that story are monumental in terms of how much more sleep people get. But are there complications to it? Are there reasons that not to? And would you, if you could, not all of us have jobs in which we could do it,
right?
But if you could figure it out, would you?
100% I would. I think, you know what I've always noticed about those day, you know, those weekends where you have a long holiday weekend, say it's Labor Day, Memorial Day, and you have that extra day. I always feel like on a 3-day weekend, you have all your running around, your kids, your games, your fun things to do. And then there's that extra day you have to just relax a little bit and not do anything. Or, you know what I mean? Maybe yeah. stick around the house. Those to me are the very, that feels like a real break. A three-day weekend does. Just that one extra day seems to make a huge difference for me mentally when I have it. Like, I just feel relaxed.
Would you do a longer show? This will never happen, by the way.
It can't happen
like,
here.
This is
yeah.
never going to happen here. But would you work a longer work day in order to be able to get that other day off? Because I have friends yeah. that had that existence already, like pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. were already able to do that. They were able to structure their days. They just worked for companies that allowed that. And so they had every Friday off or every other Friday off, and they just shuffled their hours to those longer days. And they really liked that.
Yeah, the four tens I have worked before, and it was great. Now, when I did it, you didn't necessarily get the 3 days off in a row. Like some of the staff would have, you know, they'd work Monday, Tuesday, then they'd have Wednesday off.
Okay.
Then they'd work Thursday, Friday, and then have, but it was like, they always said, the funniest thing, one guy that I worked with, he said, it's like, it's always a Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
He's like, so it always feels great. You're almost right there at your break. And so, even if they didn't have the 3 days together, it was still super helpful just to have that extra day. It was really interesting.
Would you do it? 913-586-7798. We'll go to the phones here. Will has called us up out of KC. Hey, Will.
Hey there. You know, I'm in the disaster recovery business, and unfortunately, we're on call 24/7. I think when I was working long hours, once you've worked 8 hours, 10 hours is no big deal, and 12 hours is no big deal. You're already tired, so to take 3 days off would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it won't work for my business.
Yeah, ours either. So we sympathize. It wouldn't work around here either. But yeah, it's an interesting, let's see if I remember how the phones work here. Thanks a lot for the call.
Now, my understanding.
Oops. Uh-oh. I think I hit the wrong button. We still there? You still there?
There we go.
Sorry about that.
I am. My understanding of why they're doing it, the energy savings, et cetera, makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of wasted time, productivity-wise, to pull somebody there just 4 days a week. I think you'd have a lot better morale. As you said, the issue of people with kids, that's going to create challenges. But if you got the same pay, why not?
Absolutely. Will,
thanks for your time.
Thanks, Will, for
thank
the call.
You.
Appreciate it. There we go. The other thing that they are finding about this, number one, is that in the job market right now, for jobs that posted a four-day work week, there was a 500% increase in applications for those jobs.
Wow.
So in a fight for yeah. workers, this yeah. is a way to win the fight. But I'm going to tell you, so Business Insider then picked up on a study that looked at what it did for your sleep. There was an economist through Bloomberg that looked at it. And so they found that employees who transitioned to a four-day week did 7 hours and 58 minutes of sleep per night, an hour more than they slept while working 5 days a week.
Wow.
Here was the other thing. And I say this as somebody who has been sleep deprived for 20 years. Sleep deprivation drastically fell for those in the study who changed to a 4 day week. Listen to this. The percentage of those who had been getting less than 7 hours of sleep a night decreased from 42% to 14.5%. So on that fifth day, people are sleeping. Or they're just more tired over the course of the week.
So they're sleeping.
But they're sleeping yeah. more.
Wow.
They're getting an extra hour of sleep and not working that fifth day.
Well, and that leads to fewer sick days because the more sleep you get, I
yeah.
mean, you're healthier. It helps you fight off all the, you know, the bugs that go around the office. You have to have a good night's sleep. I mean, it's like I'm sitting here thinking, like, I rarely get 7 hours of sleep. I don't even remember the last time I did that.
Yeah.
But those days are gone.
Yeah.
But it's like that's so healthy. That's a huge plus to you know, get more sleep.
Jeez. How do you argue with that? I mean, that's
yeah,
a dramatic difference. And mm-hmm. then you have employees, like you said, that are going to be better at work.
Yeah.
Because they are more, better rested.
Yes.
So maybe you are going to get 40 hours worth of work from them in those 32 hours because mm-hmm. they are more focused. Because they are getting more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That science is really difficult to argue with. Would you do it? 913-586-7798. We'll go back to the phones here. Zach is next up out of DeSoto. Hey, Zach.
Hey, so I work what's called a 5-4-9 schedule. So I work 5 days the first week of the pay period, 4 days the next week. And I work 9-hour days on those 9 days, and then every other Friday I'm off. And the Friday I'm not off, I work 8 hours. So basically, I go on at 7:30 every day, and Monday through Thursdays I get off at 5, and then every other Friday I get off at 4. And it works great because I have a 3-day weekend every other weekend.
I have friends who have done that. I didn't know that that's what that was called, but yeah, that's, I have friends who have done that. Talk to me about the days that are your 9-hour days. Do those feel like you, do you feel that extra hour every day?
No, not at all. Because, okay, so I get off at 5 instead of 4. It's an extra hour, but it's really only 1 hour. So I've worked 4-10s before, and that can be a little more draining. I don't know why. I mean, it's 1 hour or 2 hours, but the extra hour doesn't seem to make a difference.
What do you do on the extra, on the day off? What do you end up doing?
Oh, that's the time to catch up on stuff. You know, kids are in school still, so it's a time to get things done without any distractions and a time to rest and kind of do whatever I want to do without feeling pressured into doing it on the weekend.
Is there difficulty?
So an extra decompression day.
Sorry about that. I don't know how old your kids are, but is there difficulty in doing a schedule like that if you have kids, especially if they're younger?
It can be. So my kids are in middle school, and they do outside sports. So it can be sometimes tricky, but for the most part, no, it's really not too bad.
Interesting. You've made many great arguments for it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for the call, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We are going to stay in DeSoto, interestingly. Devin has called us up out of DeSoto. Hey, Devin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I used to work the 4-day, 10-hour shift at my previous job, and I loved it. I mean, because like you said, you're either a Thursday or Friday almost every day of the week. And in the middle of the week, you know, I could go get, you know, my license or tag without having to take a day off work and then lose a day of pay. It's like, oh, I'll just do it on my day off. And with kids, I mean, I already had an oddball schedule. I worked 11 to 11. So it was already an oddball, or 11 to 10 or something like that, whatever it was. But it was already an oddball schedule, but I just worked around it, and it worked great with younger kids, honestly, because they go to daycare. I can decompress, you know, have my time by myself and decompress a little bit before I had to, you know, deal with kids.
Did you get more sleep, like the study said?
I couldn't say I do. I've always struggled sleeping, so I couldn't say I did, but I always felt more rested, even if I didn't get sleep, because it's not like, oh, here comes a Monday, got to drag up out of work, you know, or, oh, it's Wednesday, I got 2 more days. It's always, oh, I only work 2 days this time, you know, before I get a day off.
Got it. Cool. Good call. So, thanks, Devin, for getting in. We appreciate it.
You know, one of the other things that I always noticed when working that schedule was then you had that one extra day, too, where during the week you could go to, like, the grocery store or Target or something and not have it just be slammed with people like it is over the weekend, and just get that out of the way while the kids are in school. And like it was nice.
So I wonder what it's going to take to make this. I mean, I think we're a long way away from making this the norm, but I wonder, like, every call that we're getting, and a lot of you are weighing in on the text line about how great it is. Who is it not good for? Who fights that? 913-586-7798. Again, not every job is conducive to it. We are in one of those. Yeah. Many of you are. But if you are in a job that could do it, what's the reason not to? What's the pushback other than we hate change, which as a society we do. But what's the logical argument against that? Mm-hmm. I know that there are some industries that would have to restructure, but there's so much in terms of energy savings and the appeal to workers. What's the reason not to get in there and do it? 913-586-7798. We'll take a break. Amy Anderson in for John Grayson. We'll be back here in just a few minutes on KMBZ. 913-586-7798 is the phone number here to get in. Amy Anderson hanging out, and then Will Starrett's going to pop in for an hour, and then Scott Parks is going to be here. It's just going to be one of those weeks where, and hopefully my voice will make it here until the end. So thanks for everybody for hanging out.
You do sound good. What are your tricks for helping your voice? Because it is not fun when this happens.
Thanks to everybody who texted those in last week.
Oh, that's good.
I actually bought... you had told me about this. Or no, Kara Markser, who I'm still very good friends with, had told me to get this thing. And so what is it called? Throat coat.
Yes.
This.
Yes.
I don't know if it's doing anything, but it's all I've been drinking since. In fact, I didn't have coffee today. I just started with that at 4:30 this morning instead.
That's how you know you're sick, when you don't have your coffee.
I feel like, right? Because it just didn't sound good to me this morning.
Oh.
But it just is literally like, I will go to a doctor this afternoon, because otherwise this is going to be a long week for us all. And I feel like if I go to a doctor this afternoon, I have to go in and say, I talk for a living. Like, I'm not being a baby. I promise, you know. But I honestly don't know what they're going to do at this point. Like, it's just kind of.
But you may have something that. Yeah, you may have something that requires an antibiotic, and that might help you. I mean, yeah. There's got to be something they can do to help you. One Otherwise, it's think. Like, it's like, yeah, you just. I always do hot tea with honey, and that's always been my go to.
Yeah.
But it's really hard when you're trying to talk and you can't.
I don't get sick very often. It's incredibly irritating because I don't generally, like, uh-huh. I don't know who knows. So we'll get through it here this week. So we were talking about this off the air, that I am notoriously horrible about returning things. And I don't like trying on clothes. So that's not a good combination of things. I often will go buy clothes, not try them on because I don't feel like it, get them home, they don't fit, and then I don't return them, which is a horrible combination of things. Amazon makes it ridiculously easy to return things. There's no, the number of places that you can return them in person if you don't want to rebox it and send it back makes it completely easy. And yet I have a stack of stuff still waiting to go back to Amazon.
Yeah.
Are you good at it?
No, I'm terrible. I order things all the time. I try them on, like, oh, that doesn't fit. I'll put it aside, stick it back in the box or the bag or whatever. And then like 2 months later, I'm like, oh, I need to return that at some point. I do that all the time. And I don't know why, because there's no reason. Amazon, especially, like you said, makes it so incredibly easy. There's no reason not to just send it back immediately.
Yeah. And so I bring it up in part because H&M, which is a women's clothing store, kind of. What's the age demo? What's the demo for H&M?
Oh, 20s and 30s, probably. Yeah, yeah. And they've got kids. They've got men's. They've got a little bit of everything, but primarily the women's.
So they are testing out a program to charge you for returning clothes.
Mm-mm.
So that's the opposite of what I've heard other stores doing. So the problem is that stores are being stuck with all this merchandise, and they don't want it. To the point that even you're hearing about some retailers that'll say, we'll give you your money back and we don't want the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we acknowledge that if we sent you the wrong thing or it doesn't fit or whatever, we'll give you the money back, but we don't want it because we don't want the warehouse space. We don't want to have to deal with it.
Yep.
And so this is the opposite of that. But yeah, Channel 9 had this story this morning and said that they're gearing up to test out return fees on merchandise in some markets. They said they're dealing with a ton of challenges, higher raw material and energy costs, stronger dollar. They've gotten out of the Russian market. They're just weighing on their business, including less consumer spending. And so they're also evaluating how they buy services and how they set up offices and travel and stuff. So one of the things they're looking at is, yeah, not for stuff that you buy in store, but for charging you for the things that you return that you buy online. Because they just don't want to deal with the stuff. And they have not said how much of a fee.
That was my next question. How much are they going to charge you? Because I'm thinking I'm probably not going to order from them if that's the case. It's a 50-50 shot if I'm keeping the things I order online anyway.
Yeah. So, gosh, if anybody works in retail, 913-586-7798. So, again, retailers are stuck with too much inventory. They're desperate to get rid of stuff that they've got, and that product returns just add to that glut of stuff. And so one of the things they want to do is dissuade you from making returns by charging fees or, again, just letting you keep the stuff. Well, are you not then going to have people that are going to go buy a bunch of stuff that they know, I mean, quite frankly, maybe that they know they can't afford, go back to you and say, oh, I didn't want this, or oh, it didn't fit. And the retailer is going to say, well, here's your money back. Just keep the stuff because we don't want it. And isn't the retailer going to lose money anyway in the process?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. It's really strange. Seems very strange to me.
Would that dissuade you from shopping at a retailer
For me, it might. I guess it depends on what they're going to charge you to send stuff back. Because like I said, it's when you're ordering online, I mean, it really is 50-50 that I'm going to keep something if it's like clothing, you know?
Do you buy clothes online?
a lot of times. Yeah.
Do you? I go back and forth about that.
I don't like to shop anymore. I'm so spoiled.
I don't either, but I'm also kind of odd proportions, I guess. Like I'm short, and so for me to buy stuff online and have it fit is, you just never know if that's going to happen. It's just easier sometimes just order a bunch of stuff online and then return it, like mm-hmm. from Amazon, even though I don't do that. It's just simpler.
They make it so easy.
But if you were to charge me for making returns, that might affect whether I shop at that store. Like, I think what they want to do is make sure you really, really want to keep it before you buy it. And that might make me just not go to that store.
I don't know. That just doesn't seem like a good idea.
Which is what a texter said too. I will not, and send us a text, 913-586-7798. Would that make you not go to a store? Because it's, again, stores are looking at two different ways here, and they're all looking at it. Should we just let you keep the stuff and we'll just give you your money back, or should we charge you? It's like incentivizing or punishing is kind of the two ways they're going. And I don't know what they do. Maybe it's just an additional tax, so to speak. Maybe it's just an additional percentage of the thing. Or just go to store credit then.
Right.
You know, if
yes, I agree. The store credit is always, I'm always okay with store credit. Because if it's a store I like, then, you know, I'll find something else, no problem. And it is such a strange, have you had the thing happen yet where you go to return something and they're like, just keep it?
No, well, I haven't.
It's a very strange feeling because then you kind of feel like, I have. It was on Amazon.
Okay.
And it was something, they sent us the wrong version of something and then they're like, no, just keep it. And I felt weird. Like I felt like I'm stealing it or something. Like, no, please let me give it back. But they did. They refunded our money like right away and just said, just keep it.
What I wish more stores did, like Target was the first retailer that I noticed that did this. But what I wish more stores did was, if you don't have your receipt, just look the receipt up on the credit card. Because I never have my receipt. I'm just never that organized. Yeah, but I always know what credit card I used.
Yep.
And so the fact that they can just look it up that way, I'm more likely to return it then because I can just take the bag in, hand you the bag, run the credit card.
And there you go.
And done.
Yep.
Texter says stores better start having more inventory if you can't try it on. I don't, maybe as we near Christmas stores are going to, but they just don't, the inventory doesn't exist anywhere. I mean, we have a shortage of a lot of different things. Yeah. So yeah. And to the texter that just said, how many people return the item to get the refund and keep the item? Yeah. I think that's going to happen a lot. I think stores are doing that math on how many people are going to scam the system versus the warehouse space they can save because they're stuck with all this random stuff. And I don't know the rules about how much they can resell or what they can put back out there.
Right. Right. When it comes back, somebody's ripped the tags off like whatever. I mean, how much do they end up losing?
Yeah. So we'll see what H&M ends up. They're going to test it out first. They're going to go based off customer feedback. Well, customer feedback is going to be bad. That was the funniest line in the story. They're going to wait and see what customers think before they...
What do you think?
Yeah, like, what do you think about paying more to do something that used to be free? Yeah, they're not going to like it. So, all right, that does it for this hour. Amy, we're going to let you go. Have a day. Thanks for hanging out.
Okay.
Good to see you.
All right, good to see you too. Feel better soon.
Thank you. The other half, Will Starrett's going to come in here for the next hour. So we'll be back here in just a few minutes on KMBZ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.